So this is really the opportunity for each of the four chairs of those breakout sessions to provide the feedback from those breakout sessions in relation to our topic this morning, basically around technology in relation to investment. And I think it would be fair to say that, and just reflecting on it and glancing at some of the comments made from each of the breakout sessions, the focus of this session was originally aimed at technology and the foundation. And in particular, and the questions are aimed at this around the technology. I suspect, though, that the discussion from the panel members that we had sitting up here opened up a much wider than technology. So I am expecting to hear some of that, particularly perhaps in question four. But obviously, all of the focus in terms of the implications of discussion points for the foundation. And a couple of other things. I think that although my feeling is that this group will have, no definitive answers in terms of these questions. I think there's been so much information that was provided to us this morning that we all, I think, got something out of the panel that was here, that it's been a really short time to absorb that. And my suggestion and a couple of comments from people as well is that somehow we bring this back, or we bring parts of this back to the Advisory Council in the future. And certainly I think that internally, both at the board and the foundation level and probably at the trustees, it will come up in discussion and there. So I'm really hoping that what we'll get out of the breakout sessions here is a couple of nuggets to pursue in relation to that. One question that I raise, and I don't necessarily think we necessarily need to answer it, however it might be useful in terms of, we had sitting here four investors. So the question to me is, how important are investors in the role of IFRS? Because we go back and we think about regulators and auditors, and we're all sitting there with those hats on as much as anything else. And how important is that investor view? Is that at the end of the day the crux in that the auditors are really only there for the investors, the regulators are really only there for the investors, and therefore how much should we be listening to those four people that were sitting up here versus our regulator or auditor or preparer view? And I see you guys are smiling, so I'm hoping that you'll be able to respond to that. So I will now start and ask you the questions. And I did suggest that each of the groups should consider the question that related to them, and then I saw they were A, B, C, D, not 1, 2, 3, 4. However, that's beside the point. But, so James, I'm going to start with you, and in relation to question one, which was, what impact will technology have on the need for IFRS standards in the future? Would you like to share with us where your group got to on that?
Certainly. Good afternoon. We had an incredible panel discussion this morning. It was interesting, and it caused us to talk a lot when we got into our breakout session. In the breakout session, we decided that the state of financial reporting is strong, and the need for IFRS standards will be greater in the future. Financial reporting focuses on historical information, and it's also subject to audit. As such, it establishes a foundation for the other information. Technology makes the possibilities endless. And with the explosion of technology, we see many people out there doing incredible things with it and coming up with minute pieces of data that in some cases they call important. Because that data may be correlated with something, interestingly enough, the most substantial piece that was talked about, he referred back to what? Financial statements over 30 years. So he comes up with a piece of data that might be interesting over 2 years, but he refers back to financial statements. There again, emphasizing the importance. With the strong foundation that financial statements provide, a phenomenal building can be constructed. Once constructed, stories can be added. And those stories can be not only in the building sense, additional floors, but people telling additional stories about the companies and about the data. And that's what we see now. But just because those additional stories can be built doesn't mean you need to alter the foundation significantly. But we do recognize an important point that was made by the panelists. And that is, because the financial statements provide this foundation, it is important for us to recognize that and not make changes willy-nilly, and recognize that each floor above the foundation would in fact be impacted by those changes. So in the conclusion for the first question, we did find that the technology, because so many things can be done and so many different things can be done, that it actually enhances the importance of the foundation.
Fabulous response. Well done, group one. Now, what I'm going to do is just go to each of the other groups and really ask, did you have anything additional or different to say on that first question? So, Giuseppe, did your group have anything additional or different to say on that first question?
We focused mostly on question four, but of course we cover question one as well. The panel that we heard was great and provided great food for thought in terms of our conclusion. I'll start with, we had a lot of discussion, not very consensual, about what it means 90 versus 10. And some people took it as a measure of relevance. I actually personally object to that, because even, let us say, in the limit, where markets are fully efficient, and we are getting there in some countries, where passive investing dominates, actually, and takes more of the investment market share, active managers need to concentrate on additional information. So the fact that they concentrate on additional information, that the fact that the IFRS financial statement information represents a minute fraction of what they analyze, doesn't make it irrelevant. It means that actually financial markets have become efficient, and that the IFRS standards provide, in fact, the anchor. So it's actually quite a bit of a validation of what is done here. And we thought also what is actually the core competencies of the IFRS, and that's basically the analytical framework, particularly in terms of recognition and measurements. We should not think of the final output only the financial statements, but rather of the analytical framework that enables the financial statement.
So in essence, what I think I'm hearing is that basically both of you, or you agreed with the group, yes, in terms of it is the foundation and will continue to, yes, be important. Do you have a different view out of your group, Javier?
No, actually, without getting into the discussion, 10-90%, we agree with that. We think that the financial statements is the basis really for analysis, and definitely is very key. We focus on the breakout on the panel on the specific points really that we have to address, and how technology impact affects IFRS, as it was mentioned here. We try to stay away from the big discussion about data, though it was very commonly were made. And I have to say everyone agrees definitively that technology is impacting IFRS. We think there has to be a further integration between the two of them, and also we were talking about the some of the points addressed, like transparency, comparability, I think it's called efficiency, cohesiveness, and I think the conclusion was that the majority of the comments, I wouldn't say the conclusion, the majority of the comments, they were leaning towards definitely there will be greater comparability. Comparability is the key element that I completely agree as an investor. Transparency, it depends on the constituencies. I think that transparency at the end of the day depends more on who provides the information than really the technology. That's an opinion that we had as well. And then on the cohesiveness of the information also is a matter of how it's provided information. So I think that we were talking about Sbiral. I think probably we will address that point later on and taxonomy. We spent a great deal of time discussing about that. But when it comes to technology and IFRS, everyone was supportive of the fact, and everyone was supportive that the two things that have to be integrated, and we see that's a complement. No one will substitute the other. And definitely still financial statements, financial reporting is very key, or is the key for financial analysts and investors.
Thank you. And Jens, anything additional from your group?
I think our group already agreed on what has been said by my three colleagues, so I can echo this. We also discussed a little bit on the changes that might come from technology. Especially, we think that technology might change basic concepts in IFRS, and we addressed materiality. So the materiality concept might change or could change due to more information being available. So that materiality, the overall threshold for materiality becomes lower due to new technologies. And I think then we discussed on timeliness of information that comes available, and we think that timeliness is not something that has an impact, where technology has an impact on IFRS standards, but timeliness rather is something that should be addressed by regulators and jurisdictions. So what is the frequency of reporting that is required? And I think the additional topic we discussed then is we had some views on accountability. And we discussed, we came to accountability by the discussion about timeliness. And we discussed then accountability versus short-termism. And I think that based on the development of IFRS standards, that accountability should be held on both sides. That is not only the one that is supplying information, but as well the one that uses the information should be accountable. Because there is, when we look to the conceptual framework as it is phrased as of today, accountability is only meant for preparers of financial information. And we had some discussion about that short-term investors might affect the information that is supplied by the preparer when you focus too much on short-termism. So I think these are the ideas that our group had with regard to question one.
Okay, thank you all very much in relation to question one, and I will try to summarise at the end where we got to. I won't guarantee it. But let's now move on to question two, which was the same question in terms of the impact that technology will have, but this time on the IFRS taxonomy in the future. And Jens, this was allocated to your group as the first one to focus on, so would you like to talk to us again about where you got to on question two?
Yes, for sure. I think overall we started, again, we had some lengthy discussion about the 10% and the 90%, and we agreed that there is a link between IFRS standards and the IFRS taxonomy, and so we agreed in the group that the IFRS taxonomy, due to the link, will remain relevant as long as IFRS standards will remain relevant. I think we had done some discussion about what are the pros for the IFRS taxonomy, and we raised that the IFRS taxonomy provides one common language to understand financial statements prepared in different jurisdictions. So there is a use for the IFRS taxonomy. And taking this into account, we agreed upon that our message as a group should be that the foundation should continue growing the IFRS taxonomy. Honestly speaking, we had no information on the costs that are associated with keeping in investment in the IFRS taxonomy. So now we, taking this aside, we supported the need to maintain the taxonomy. And even though our group suggested that more elements should be created by the foundation or the ISP to the IFRS taxonomy so that companies can create less extensions. So narrow down the interpretation, the grade of interpretation by preparers. Because this will increase, in the end, comparability among preparers when we look to the prepared financial statements within the IFRS taxonomy. I think there are two other points we raised in our discussion. One is make the IFRS taxonomy more user-friendly without having now specifics what really means user-friendly, because I think it's the same question as to who is the addressee of financial statements, who is the user, so I think this comes along. And then we thought that we should rediscuss on which platform the taxonomy is hosted. So nowadays it's XBRL. However, there might be other technologies available in the market right now, and the IFRS Foundation should look out whether other technologies are better suited to run the IFRS taxonomy.
So a question for you and for each of you as you consider it, as to whether you consider it in your groups, is to effectively the panel discussion and them their discussions, did you get a feeling that in your group people's views had changed as a result of on the IFRS taxonomy as a result of hearing the panel? Embedded views...
For our group, I don't think that there is a change due to the panel discussion. I think it's the overall feedback of the group is that the taxonomy is needed.
Mm. Okay.
And without knowing what the costs are, right?
In our case, in my group, everybody, I think, has their own embedded ideas of about taxonomy. Mm. I think the discussion this morning didn't affect them. Mm. I mean, mm-hmm. I didn't precisely ask that question, but I don't have that perception. Yeah. And what it was clear is that for everyone, taxonomy is something that was needed and they were in favor. Having said that, I want to mention a couple of caveats because they were mentioned, and I think to be fair for everyone, certain countries already, SVRAL language has been working for a while. And what it seems to be, there are some fears that the taxonomy standardizes too much some of the reporting, and then there is not enough flexibility. That's one of the things was mentioned about the component of flexibility. Okay. Obviously, I think this is a process right now, at least in Europe, and how everybody is going to use the new language in the taxonomy, and we will see. But I have to say that the taxonomy in general was people were in favor of the taxonomy approach that there was this on the table right now.
Okay.
So, as you said, no one really was changed, I think, their mind based on this morning discussion.
Okay. Giuseppe, anything further to add from your group?
We didn't discuss this in full detail. However, comments were made as to what are the core competencies of the IFRS world, and those are the analytical framework for recognition and measurement. The IFRS taxonomy is a tool to facilitate presentation and disclosure. This is viewed as a communication issue, and communication changes really fast.
Okay, James, short and sharp. Thank you, Giuseppe.
Our discussions were consistent with what's been talked about before, but the panel did get us to talk about other things such as KPIs and ESG-related information and whether or not the taxonomy should be expanded to address additional issues. The consensus was that the foundation provides a minimum measurement base, and there should be consideration for expanding it, but we're not yet there in terms of expanding it in the ways that the panel was discussing it.
Did any of the other groups talk about expanding it? Nope,
With regard to question four, yes.
Okay, all right. We'll come to question four in a minute.
Legal discipline, our group.
It was well chaired, was it, Jens? Okay. So with nothing further than to add on question two, I'm going to go have you to question three. which is effectively around and what forces are supplanting benefits of an IFRS taxonomy. So effectively leading on from this question in terms of are market forces supplanting the benefits of IFRS taxonomy.
Oh, you asked me.
Yes,
sorry.
I'm asking you.
Okay.
That was the one your group was supposed to focus on first.
Yeah. Okay. So no, we see that the taxonomy really, I mean, the market forces will supplement taxonomy. Actually, we think that it's going to be always elements of taxonomy, our own classification, and information that the investors and analysts are going to use on their own, regardless of the taxonomy provided in that sense. So we don't see, we didn't really, I would say, question that much the fact that the taxonomy provided will be supplemented by market forces. We see that will come, and at the end of the day, taxonomy, IFRS taxonomy is not going to be 100% what the investors or what the analysts, they use. There's always going to be some I would say, want to say manipulation, but some adjustment to that. So in that sense, I think that we didn't see any big change on that, on taxonomy and IFRS taxonomy.
So James, did your group see any big changes as a result of other market forces?
The most significant thing we talked about is that the IFRS does face some competition, but it's not the type of competition that was talked about with the panel. But there are organizations and bodies throughout the world that are getting companies within particular industries to provide additional reports. The most substantial one we talked about was in the banking industry with reports around solvency. Mm-hmm. And so those reports become, in some cases, more significant to within that industry than some of what IFRS is asking to those sorts of companies to disclose. And so there is other sorts of competition so that the IFRS should remain relevant within those particular industries.
John, can you make a comment? Here. Yeah, I think we didn't see the local jurisdiction that we mentioned that, but I don't say we saw that as a really market competition, but definitely it's an element that we discussed because I think where it's a competition is between the IFRS taxonomy and what the local constituencies or local jurisdiction might request. So I wouldn't say this is really market competition, but definitely might be some kind of different kind of taxonomy requirements.
Okay. Giuseppe, anything additional from your group on that one?
Not really. So we had
Jens?
Some.
Yeah, yep.
we had some discussion on what is the distinguishing factor between the market forces and the ISB, and then we think that the brand that is associated with the IFRS taxonomy and it gives it a lot of legitimacy in the market, and the ISB therefore should stay with the IFRS taxonomy. But we also discussed some concerns that we have. We observed that there are many international organizations that have taken part to standardize financial information. And we cautioned in our group that there might be a possibility of duplication and confusion among users due to different data sources and mm-hmm. data mm-hmm. Preparation. So our group is now in the position ourselves that we would encourage the IFRS Foundation to work closely together with these organizations to avoid duplication of information and to avoid confusion.
Okay. I'm now going to, we've got a lot of time left for question four, which I think is probably the biggest question in terms of what other takeaways from today's panel, and I'm going to emphasize, please, in reporting back, it's what other takeaways as it impacts on the foundation. So, Giuseppe, your group, as to what you would like to start with, please.
Yes, in fact, in our group, we started with question four, according to your recommendation, and that provided for a very lively but somewhat even controversial discussion, and therefore, if I am not able to represent all the views here, dear group members, please speak up. We started with what I have already said, basically the identification of the core competencies of the IFRS kind of standards and foundation around the analytical recognition, the measurement and recognition and measurement. And we said, now we are submerged with a lot of data, often unstructured data. We heard from the panel this morning about the relevance of ESG. And there was a discussion that focused on the core versus scope issue. Could we extend the scope of the standards? And there,
could or should?
That we discussed whether we could. Now, we certainly did not achieve unanimity in that, but a unanimous, I would say almost unanimous point of view is that the core competencies that we have can bear fruits in many other areas where there is a lot of confusion at the moment, including ESG standards. So we can lend our hand toward establishment of better data, more reliable data. Also, there was a lot of discussion of integrated reporting and basically saying that it provides supplementary information, but it's lacking rigor, and there also the ISB can lend its expertise and principle to the standard setting for integrating report. We had a lot of discussion also as to whether this data that's out there can replace financial statements. But my own personal take, especially after the panel of this morning, was that we got a rather resounding validation for the role of the statement, as we already heard, and much more so, in my opinion, than in our prior discussion on the subject in 2018 and before. Now we actually went all over the place, quite frankly, with many discussion on timing issues. For instance, in this fast-changing world, is the fact that we take so long to publish standards something that is still acceptable? But we also heard from the panel this morning that for quantitative analysis, comparability is paramount. So we should not jump and change standards too fast, because that's affect comparability over the time dimension. We had also, we conducted what I would think a thought experiment. That's very popular in theoretical physics, which is my field of origin, although we didn't use this terminology. The thought experiment was continuous reporting, thanks to Trevor. And continuous reporting would be made easy with new technology, but it may not provide reliable information and can be burdensome for companies. Interestingly, though, we didn't see any major issues concerning using standards, existing standards in continuous reporting. It's more a matter of technology than of standards. and whether investors will find it useful. There were a number of other points that were made, and I would reiterate the point that we should not focus on the output being the paper statements, actually the process of recognition, the analytical framework underpinning recognition and measurement. I'll be repeating that quite a number of times, is more important than that. There was some discussion about the statement made that whereas the IFRS standards were very much validated in the discussion in the morning, statements were made about the fact that perhaps investors do not care very much whether information is audited or unaudited, which may be coming as a surprise. Again, there was no consensus, but I would remind that unaudited doesn't mean that it's junk. It's just unaudited. And frankly, as an investor, I don't see anything wrong in using unaudited information. As I said, it's very difficult to report everything. Everything is in the notes, and I would very much like to thank the note taker, best ever that I got, Frank Fan, who made really an excellent job in putting down all the various contributions. And I think rest my case here.
Giuseppe, thank you. And as I'm not surprised, a lot of stuff came out in relation to that question four. So, James, additional things from your group that came out of or reinforcing of what Giuseppe's group said?
I think some things that came out of the group was astonishment of considering that the panelists were finding information that the managers aren't aware of. An argument that they're capturing what's important to the operation of the company, but the managers aren't even using that information in actually operating the company. I think that was interesting to us. The other thing is that management commentary is important. Many of the things that they talked about, ESG and certain KPIs, would not be appropriate for the financial statements, but they could be of interest within the management commentary. And so the fact that we are, in fact, looking at that is important, and the timing may be just right in order to analyze some of those issues.
Can I just interrupt you there and ask a question in terms of management commentary? In relation to the fact that it is a voluntary statement, did your group talk about that and whether from what the panel said that would change or you'd encourage the foundation, the board, to think about making it mandatory?
So our group did not talk about that at all. I have my personal thoughts on that.
Okay, well, we'll see if any of the other groups did, and then I might ask you personal thoughts.
So I think our group spent a lot of time on talking about management commentary, and it has been raised that it, due to the fact that it is only a practice statement, it makes it irrelevant, and our group concluded that the IFRS Foundation should think about whether the management committee should be mandatory, and then it's not only the how to make it mandatory. I think we elaborated a little bit further in discussing whether the board should be responsible. I think in our group we have an agreement that it's not the existing board that should be responsible for management commentary, because there's interaction required with regulators and jurisdictions, so and due to the ESG data that is required, that we thought it might be an idea from the IFRS Foundation to elaborate whether there should be a separate board addressing management commentary. So, because the existing board should concentrate, as it is from the personal background, it should look for financial reporting, and for management committee, our group proposed that there should be a separate body addressing a mandatory management committee.
Thank you, James, but I did interrupt you, James, so carry on.
So we were talking about audited or unaudited with regard to some of this data, and the fact is that much of the data cannot be audited. Some assurance can be provided in some cases, mostly limited assurance. So we're actually not talking about the same sorts of data, and I think we need to recognize that as well.
Jens, your group then further in terms of that question for the wider input?
No, nothing more to add from our group. I think we spend a lot of time on ESG, that this is relevant, and on the management committee.
Okay, so similar comments than have been raised. Javier, your group, anything?
I think we touched upon an additional one that was this morning also discussed here. And just based on what Jen said also regarding on the non-financial information, there was comments that is comments and that is very important, is increasingly becoming more relevant, the non-financial information. It is something that for the investment decision process is very important now, what is the trend that is going right now. We were discussing, we were talking about SBIRAL, our language, the other language right now in the way how things, financial information is going to be reported, and that everyone basically agreed that that's the way, I would say, digital reporting, or better to say electronic reporting. And every country, because there was a variety of constituencies in my group, they are at a different level of implementation and integration right now. But it was, what it was clear is that electronic reporting, digital reporting is becoming and is very important, and countries that still they don't have it, they're going to implement it. That's one point that was this morning mentioned. In that sense, also we discuss, I have to say that as an investor now, and particularly in continental Europe, I think still there is a disconnection between how SBIRAL is being already used and will be implemented by corporations, and how familiar users and investors, I mean, analysts, financial analysts and investors are with that. I think it's going to be a learning process, has to be an educational process in that case. And I don't know the rest of my colleagues what they think about that, but the sooner we start with that process, the better. Because I think a lot of work has been done on one side of the table, but the other side of the table, I think I still has a lot of work has to be done in that sense. And that side of the table is investors and financial analysts to become familiar and know how to use properly SBIRAL in their own models. I don't know if you have.
So any comments on that particular one from the other groups? No? Okay. Now, that is the four questions. What I'm going to ask before I try to sum up where I think we've got to and thank the chairs, is there anybody from any of the discussion groups who thinks that their chair didn't quite cover everything that was vitally important in their group? And you're all laughing. That implies the four of you did a wonderful job. So is there anything that anybody would like to add to basically the plenary discussion is effectively what I'm saying in relation to any of those four questions? Olivia.
Only one comment about the continuous reporting, because in fact, of course, in the big groups we have the revenue every day, and once a month we have the revenue, but don't forget that some accounting operations are not done every month. I am thinking about impairment. This is a very big job, and this is not a daily job, I would say. So even if some kind of reporting exists, it is not at the level it should be to be published outside.
Any other comments? OK, Okay, what I'm going to attempt to do, I mean, we've all heard everything, but to me there was some key points, I think, for the foundation in terms of our advice to consider as a result of that. And in relation to question one, a few points that I would highlight is, I think, from all of the groups in relation to the fact that financial statements, as somebody actually said, are more important as a result of that discussion and what we've had today than we actually said the last time we had this discussion around what is the future, which I think is, and that IFRS standards, as James started this whole thing, IFRS standards have an important or greater role in the future than they do now. Another thing was, though, again, out of James's group, to not make willy-nilly changes to the standards. I think that came through from the panel this morning, and that technology enables a lot. Mm-hmm. And so it's actually making sure we use that technology. But I also think, and Javier, your group, it came out on the expression you used was more integration. And I think that's come out a couple of times already this morning in terms of us not, as the foundation, not working in isolation, but working in integration with other groups out there, including, and I've had, you know, the discussion around, you know, some of the panel organisations and how we can actually get input from them. They get input from us, let's get input from them to help us with what we do. So those were, I think, probably the key messages that I picked up there in relation to question one to the foundation. In question two, I think the key thing that really I got out of what came out of question two was, in fact, that the panel didn't change the views. There was nothing that the panel said that changed the views around the importance of the IFRS taxonomy, and that basically all the groups did support us being involved in the IFRS taxonomy. The question about whether or not we should expand to other issues within that taxonomy, but we're not quite there, but it needs to be something that is on the radar. In relation to question three, again, another common theme I think that has come out from today is the word brand. Mm-hmm. You know, the importance of our brand, and again, the continuation of the taxonomy in relation to the brand, and again, the comment to work with others rather than to do it on our own, that integration. So I think some key themes coming out of the discussions so far today. And then in relation to question four, and I think Giuseppe's, and I think that's something for the foundation to really think about, is what are the core competences that we have? Are those core competences around writing accounting standards, or are those core competences around the process that we do to write standards? And therefore, what are the opportunities for us in the future to say we need to consider other standards, whether it's to do them on our own through a separate board, as Jen's group talked about, or whether in fact to work with others but to use our skills in that area. So I think, Giuseppe, what you brought out there from your group, and you used the expression lend our hand, which I think is a great expression there. So that's probably, and then, yeah, so the focus on the process, but again, I think the comment that you brought out, and I've heard it a few times around the auditing, and how important auditing is or isn't it, and I think, again, that the expression that Giuseppe used in terms of just because it's not audited doesn't necessarily mean it's junk. And I think that that's something that when we think about these things, it's important that we think about. So that's my summary in terms of what the key aspects, if I make it really short and sharp, of what I got out of the discussion that came out of there. So I might ask, and I'm not sure if there are any board members, Hans or trustees, who would like to make any comment, or Sue, around what's come out or questions that you have as a result of the discussions. I mean, to me, the most important thing, I think, as I said before, is actually this, we got so much out of this morning, and it's really, you know, this is our initial reaction, but where you take it from there. Hans, you're moving to a microphone. That's good.
Well, first of all, I also thought it was a fantastic panel, and I hope that we can get a rather detailed summary of what has been said, because there's a lot that we really need to do some deep thinking about. I was, after hearing all these comments, it confirmed me in my belief that all this additional information mm-hmm. for investors is welcome, mm-hmm. and that it's absolutely no threat to us. It mm-hmm. adds to the value of IFRS, so we should not be defensive, and I have not heard anybody being defensive about it. It also confirmed my conviction that our efforts to improve the taxonomy are worthwhile and are used by in the market. What I found very interesting is what the comments by one of the panelists about non-GAAP, how on the one hand there is very important information, but there's a lot of doubt about the quality. And I think the work that we are doing about the in the primary financial statements project is mm-hmm. to bring it in the notes, bring more transparency, and bring more comparability. And that's exactly what this panel asked for. So I think that should be helpful work. Lots of talks about ESG. I've given a couple of speeches on that subject. We still need to think further about that. There are also new initiatives by, for example, the French National Standard Center to create a European body. I think we will, I mean, if I'm still not, I don't think that the ISB can ever write sustainability standards, because it's really a different cup of tea, but there are elements of sustainability reporting that take financial materiality mm-hmm. as the threshold, and that is certainly relevant information for the investor, is within our scope and should find a place in the management commentary. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to do further thinking also as a foundation, and it's good that Erki is there. I think in one of the next trustees meeting we are going to probably talk about this more in depth. What I also found interesting is the comments about the need for standardization of the management commentary, and I can imagine that especially for the data providers that is very important, that they can tag it more easily and can pick the information more easily. Until now, our work on the management commentary is not really focused on that. I think we need to do some more thinking to perhaps provide a sort of a format. If the format doesn't really fit, then you can, of course, always do it a bit differently. But I think there is a need in the market for better formatting. So all these comments are a little bit all over the place, but that was the nature of the discussion. So I really hope that the staff can do a good job in writing everything down so that we can do a little bit more thinking.
Sue? Just in addition to what Hans said, I think another couple of things which I thought were interesting and I think we should reflect on a bit more. I was surprised about the comments on audit, and I would like to dig into that a little bit more and see if I can understand that better, because the main message we got was that the IFRS information is a really important anchor because of its verifiability, and it seems somewhat inconsistent with that to me that the taxonomy form of that, for example, you wouldn't need that same level of assurance. So that's something personally I'll try and dig into a little bit more. And I think the other thing that they mentioned on the panel this morning, which is interesting for us to think about, is the flow of information in the other direction in terms of whether we could make some more use of some of the stuff that they're doing to inform our standard setting and to use it in that direction as well, which I think is interesting as well.
I totally concur with that in terms of, and I think it came out from all the discussions about the integration, working more with them. They've got fabulous information. Okay. Well, Michelle?
Thank you very much. Just maybe two observations. One, I think, you know, this panel, as everyone said, was extremely helpful. But at the same time, I think he did provide a perspective, which is that of a segment of the market, which are really investors. And even within that segment, you know, not necessarily the full spectrum of investment mm-hmm. strategy mm-hmm. and so on. So that's one thing. And, you know, I went back to the Constitution and I looked at, you know, the objective of the foundation. And what it says is, you know, it's talking about investors and other participants in the world capital markets and other users of financial information. So there's a much wider audience than the one we had this morning that actually is using. And I think we should not, you know, lose sight of that. But the other aspect also is obviously what is fascinating is to see how much technology is changing the way people are using that information. So, you know, as much as the actual substance of what we do, how it's being used and how it's being produced was actually a very important sort of a perspective provided this morning.
All right. Well, I think that does draw to a conclusion this session. And if any of you or most of you are like me, your head is spinning around all of that because I think it has just been amazing. In terms of the discussions that we've had, and a lot more to go on, both, as I said before, internally within the foundation, and I would suggest maybe more stuff coming back to us in the future around particular aspects of this as there is more to think about. So thank you to all of you for your contributions. Thank you to the four chairs for sharing in front of you, and we will now move on to the next session. But before we do so, these guys will go back to their chairs and I'll move down there.
Yes, I've got the notes.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
they're yeah, I was here.